from the national studios of Farm Journal Radio. This is AgriTalk, on air, online, across the nation, around the world.
AgriTalk, a live radio show for rural America, connecting producers with consumers. Stay informed on everything ag-related in Iowa and the Midwest with a full hour of AgriTalk with Mike Adams. Monday through Friday mornings at 10:06 on AM 1590 KWBG. Welcome to Tuned In, KWBG's News and Public Affairs program. And now here's your host, News Director Jim Turbin.
And today on our Tuned In program, we're joined by U.S. Senator Charles Grassley on the phone line. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing pretty well. It's been a little while. You've been very busy.
Yeah. Let me start over again because we had that holiday in the middle of the week.
Yeah.
So as of 7 days ago, we didn't know that we'd be in session on Thursday and Friday or not. Then on Tuesday, about 3 o'clock, they said that there. Take the holiday off, but also go home and honor the veterans and don't come back for Thursday and Fridays. So I was in Iowa and able to do a lot of things that I didn't think I was going to be able to do on Veterans Day, speaking at veterans organizations and being on a radio talk show. And then I went to a UNI class to talk about, answer questions for students about education because they're prospective teachers. And then I went to the College of Law 150th anniversary at the University of Iowa. And then some sports events.
You caught up, got caught up with me, getting caught up with everybody back home.
That's, yeah. When you're in Iowa, you got to be prepared to talk to anybody that wants to talk to you because that's what representative government's all about. I got back here last night about 9:15.
I'm pretty sure that as you were going around, because everything that happened in Paris started like on Friday afternoon, information kept trickling out over the weekend. Probably had a number of people asking you your thoughts about what happened over there and where are we going from here, that sort of thing.
Well, yes, we did have those conversations. Actually, probably not as much as there will be reflection on a couple days later. You know, people get over the horror and praying for the victims there and their families in Paris and being in solace with them. But it does affect a lot of public policy. It affects whether or not Syrian refugees ought to come to the country, and I think that it's pretty clear that there isn't a very good vetting process if people can go from Syria to help kill all these people in Paris and have a Syrian passport. That person could probably come to the United States as well. They've been very clear that they want to have that they want to sneak in terrorists with the refugees that are coming to Europe and to the United States. And so I think it calls for at least a period of time to reflect on what happened in Europe before we continue down this road of whether or not refugees ought to come to this country. We're a nation that over a long period of time, at least since World War II, has been very liberal inviting refugees. But most of them had come here because they wanted to get away from the turmoil going on in their own country, whether it's Vietnam or Africa or Southeast Asia. They wanted to come here for peace and quiet. Most of them, or hardly any of them, coming here to create problems for us, and surely not to carry out what an extremist religious organization would want to accomplish, like what was accomplished in Paris.
One of the things that I had heard over the weekend in some of the commentary included the fact that we know that there are a number of people, not only from the United States, but these other countries that have gone to join this extremist group. They carry U.S. passports. Would they be able to come back? Are we aware of who these might be? What if they, you know, because they would have U.S. passports coming home.
Without getting an intelligence briefing, I can't answer your question. And if I had the briefing, maybe I couldn't tell you. But we know from what the FBI has said publicly, as well as in secured environments, but what they say publicly can be repeated, that through social networking, they're communicating with thousands of Americans right here in this country. I'm talking about ISIS now. Then if they get a very small number of them on what you might call on the hook, when they get them on the hook, then it tends to go into an encrypted sort of communication, so it's impossible to follow them. But based upon what I'm telling you, I heard from the FBI that there's thousands that they know they've communicated with, several, at least in each one of the 50 states. That'd be at least one in each one of the 50 states. How many more in some of the states, I don't have a figure on, that the FBI feels that they ought to be watching and are trying to watch as much as they can. And that makes it very difficult because of the encryption of the communication.
So going forward, once you get back to Washington, what sort of things do you expect to start see coming up? Because I'm sure we'll get back, we'll get a little more intelligence information. We know the French are already reacting. Would there be some other things then that would be coming up potentially for Congress to deal with?
Well, like I said, I got back to Washington last night at 9:15, and so I expect this week to spend most of the week on the highway bill. This will be the first long-term highway bill that Congress has passed since 2005. I think the 2005 bill was a six-year bill. It lapsed in 2011, and then 35 or 36 times since then, the can's been kicked down the road for a year, I guess one time for 2 years, but no long-term planning on highway construction. So both the House and Senate have passed a long-term bill. It's in conference now between the House and Senate, and I believe it will pass by Friday. Then simultaneous with that, this week and then next week is Thanksgiving week, and then within 2 weeks after Thanksgiving, by December the 11th, we have to have the appropriation bills passed to fund government for the rest of the 2016 fiscal year. And I expect so most of what we're working on now in the next 3 weeks between now and December the 11th will be the highway bill and appropriation bills.
Okay. I got to say, does it feel good finally getting to do some of those? Because we've gone a long time without really the budget information that you guys have had traditionally always dealt with.
Yeah. Well, here's something that I got to back up, because I said appropriation bills, and we will pass the plural of that, but probably not all 12 appropriation bills. Normally, this should be done in July and September and be done by September the 30th. And now, between now and December the 11th, I don't think there's time to get the 12 separate bills passed, but let's say we get five or six of them passed. I think the last five or six are going to be rolled into what's called an omnibus appropriation bill.
Okay. So we haven't really been through a lot of it. I know that some of the people, because I hear them every once in a while when candidates come around and they visit about things like this, again, a lot of times it's things that get stuck onto some of those bills that get to be a problem.
Well, yeah, it could be a problem, but let me tell you some things that I know Iowans want put on these appropriation bills as amendments. For instance, with EPA, you've heard about their rules on waters of the U.S. That's going to give the federal government basically jurisdiction over 99% of Iowa, and that's based on a map that the Farm Bureau has put out. and it's the biggest bureaucratic power grab that I've seen here in Washington. So we would we'll try to get passed an amendment that says something like this. It's a very long legal language, but it boils down to one sentence. None of the money in this appropriation bill can be used to carry out waters of the U.S. Then there's people in Kentucky and West Virginia, coal country, that those senators are trying to get amendments on the appropriation bill for EPA, saying that the restrictions put on the burning of coal that EPA has put out and unemployed a lot of people in West Virginia and Kentucky, that none of the money in this appropriation bill can be used to carry out that regulation. Then there's something in the Labor Department rules on the fiduciary responsibility of financial advisors that's going to make it practically impossible for people that want financial advice to pay for it, as opposed to based upon the success of the advice, you know, a commission for the people who are financial advisors. And the whole financial community is up in arms about that, but it's going to affect middle-class America very much, because they may not be able to go to financial advisors on their investments, as an example.
A lot of things, a lot of work to do. I know that it's you've made some pretty good progress on doing a lot of these. We still have a few other things out there. I know that the Pacific trade issue, that you still have some work yet to do, or what are we looking at there?
Well, that's out on the Internet, so I don't know how many pages. It seems to me like it's 3,000 pages. People are already calling into my office to vote against it. I hope that they'll go to the Internet and read it, because a lot of agricultural organizations in the state of Iowa feel that the agricultural provisions are very good provisions. So I hope people look at, if they're John Deere workers, for instance, and John Deere exports 24% of their tractors, that they would look at this as something that is very helpful to John Deere workers, besides just the farmers that buy John Deere tractors. Because if you can export more John Deere tractors, it's more jobs in Waterloo. But we're getting calls against it. I haven't studied it all 3,000 pages yet, so I'm only able to take a position on the agricultural provisions that I think are good for agriculture in Iowa. But there's manufacturing, there's intellectual property provisions, there are financial services provisions and other services that are part of the negotiations. But basically, it involves an agreement among 12 nations with that reduces trade restrictions for our exports into those countries that we have to think about. And these 12 countries of the Pacific are where 40% and the fastest growing part of international trade tends to be 40% of the trade and then fastest growing. So it's on the Internet for people to read. I hope they read it. It can't be acted upon by Congress for 90 days.
It's one of those things where it's awful big, and again, you'd have to sit down and go through all of it to see if how it weighs out. Because,
yeah,
like you said, at least on the ag part, we know it looks very promising for Iowa production and Iowa manufacturing. Like you said, John Deere and stuff. But, there's a lot of other parts in there also that they have to deal with. So yeah, it's one of those challenges to balance it out. Have we seen some pretty good compromises coming out? The last time, and it's been a while since we did have an opportunity to last visit, and at that time we were just starting to see a move towards trying to get some of these, like the appropriations bills and those things, yeah, resolved and moving forward. Are we starting to see some things come together?
Yeah, I think you're going to, with a new speaker in the House of Representatives, I think you're going to have a honeymoon that hopefully lasts through all of next year. Now, it's pretty difficult to predict beyond the next election, but I think that he's a whole different personality, and I think people want the House of Representatives to work. And I think the fact that only 9 Republicans voted against him out of 247 is pretty good indication of what's of good news for what's ahead. I would expect that before Boehner left office, he did the House of Representatives a favor by working out an agreement that I didn't agree with because I voted against it, but it does solve some of the problems of greater bipartisan cooperation on these appropriation bills we've already talked about. But it amounts to the Congress and the President, not including my vote, spending $80 billion more over the next 2 years than what was anticipated 3 or 4 years ago, when basically during the 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th year, and it would have gone into the year 16, we basically have had flat appropriations. In other words, all the money the federal government spent was about $3.5 trillion, but pretty flat over the course of those 4 or 5 years. And I was in favor of continuing that, except for defense. And that's where the president stiffened his back and said, well, if you're going to spend more money on defense, we need to spend more on domestic programs. I didn't buy that philosophy, and that's why I voted against it. And but that's where the $80 billion comes in. Now, maybe $80 billion over 2 years on top of the $3.5 trillion that we've had for 4 or 5 years isn't such a big increase, but it is something that's built on in successive years after fiscal year 2017. So it isn't just $80 billion once, it's $80 billion year after year plus some more.
Okay. I know that you happened to be available, I think, when they did the opening over here at in Nevada.
Yeah, I was there, yes.
And got to be pretty pleased. I mean, that's a pretty big commitment that those companies have made, not only there, but POET up in Emmitsburg, too, to switch over, try Stover and see how it goes. Again, getting away from using corn ethanol, but it is, we still have to see what's coming up on renewable fuels. This thing seems like it's sitting there forever.
Yeah, if you, it's very necessary to go to a corn stover because the present law, and I don't think this is going to be changed, limits to 15 billion gallons of ethanol from grain. So it's got to come from corn stover or switchgrass or marijuana or wood, chips, things of that nature. And in Iowa, it's going to be corn stalks. But in other parts of the country, it might be something else.
Yeah.
But we have a mandate for mixing a lot more ethanol with gasoline beyond just the 15 billion gallons for the future. So it's going to have to come from cellulosic ethanol.
It's pretty amazing, that whole process, watching that. So I know they got a lot of producers that are going to do the Stover part for them, too. As a farmer, are you concerned that, you know, you're starting to take that off of the land, and that's been a big part of doing minimum till, no till, things like that.
Yeah. Well, one of two things. If you take it off the entire field, you're only going to do it every third or fourth year. If you want to take it off the same fields, then maybe a third of the Stover off of each field. And I'm not sure exactly how it's going to be done, but it's pretty well thought out to make sure you maintain the fertility of the soil and the humus in the soil.
A couple of months ago when we had a chance to visit and we were watching all of the candidates start to line up for the campaign, field is gradually narrowing down. I know you had anticipated it. You were concerned about some of these debates that were going to be held and the number of people there. The process, it's continuing to work the way it's supposed to, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think there's only two down, isn't there? Maybe three at the most. So we still have 14 or 15. I think that it's probably going to stay this way until you get into January. There may be another one or two drop out before the February 1st Iowa caucuses, but I doubt if there will be 15 or 14 moving on to New Hampshire, but there'll still be probably a dozen. And then you, when you get to Super Tuesday in March, and it takes a lot of money to be on television, I think that's going to weed out some more.
I do appreciate you taking time visiting with us this month. We look forward to keeping in touch with you and all the things that are going on in Washington. Again, you got your Thanksgiving break coming up, and I know you'll be back and probably doing quite a few other visits around the state as well.
Yeah.
Thanks. Do appreciate you taking time visiting with us this month.
Yeah, thanks a lot to everybody listening there in Boone.
Thank you. Senator Charles Grassley, our guest on our Tuned In program today.